गुरु ब्रह्मा गुरु विष्णु गुरु देवो महेश्वरा स्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। Good morning, everyone. So many devotees, we don't all fit. Small overflow. We've been reading and commenting from our new book, Path to Shiva, Catechism for Youth. And we're up to lesson 6 today. The book is designed for teenagers, and we've tried our best to keep the language at that grade level, which is a challenge. Is Hinduism a religion or a way of life? Is the title. Hinduism is a religion and it is a way of life. Okay. What's the point in going on, right? It's unusual to answer it so directly. Both ideas are true. It is a highly spiritual way of life, which is the perfect definition of religion. The word religion means a particular system of faith and worship. It comes from religionum, a Latin word meaning respect for what is sacred, reverence for the gods. In that sense, Hinduism is overqualified for the term. Unlike most religions, it does not divide life into secular and spiritual opportunities. To devout Hindus, all of life is spiritual. All of our daily activities are part of our religious practice. Religion is a powerful word in today's world, one that we should freely use in describing India's ancient faith. A related issue is the use of the term Hinduism. This is the broad name by which Sanatana Dharma is known and honored in the world. For centuries, Hinduism was misunderstood by the West and wrongly disparaged. But that has changed. Entering the 21st century, Hinduism is recognized as the most compassionate, mystical, and enlightened faith on the planet. Its messages of peace, non-injury, and open-mindedness are urgently needed in this time of strife and bigotry. These values are being appreciated, as are Hinduism's sciences of yoga, Vastu, Jyotisha, and Ayurveda. If we discard the name Hinduism or call it just a way of life, remove it from the grand esteemed position that it holds and deserves as a major world religion. We should not do that. United together under the Hindu banner, our family of faith enjoys the many protections given to all religions. And we have a respected, unified voice to the media, government, heads of education, and planning departments. Hindus themselves are becoming more confident about their faith, proud to declare, "I am a Hindu." In universities the world over, Hindu youth stand proudly side by side with students of other religions. That can't happen if we avoid the name Hinduism, and it can't happen if we give up the word religion. And Gurudeva's quote at the bottom, "Dharma means merit, morality, good conduct, religious duty, and the way of life of the wise person." We have a publisher's desk on this topic, and it starts out with a quote from Swami Chinmayananda from a YouTube video of his. So I'll come up to the quote in a second here, but he starts out by saying, you know, this is a hot topic among youth around the world. You find it being discussed as Hinduism, a religion, or a way of life. And he makes the point that By definition, a religion is a way of life. You can't have a religion that doesn't affect your daily life, right? That would be ridiculous. Religion guides our daily life. In fact, many religions, that's all they do. They give us guidelines for our daily life. So all religions are ways of life. That has to be true. And then the article makes the point, but there are ways of life that are not religions. So vegetarianism is a way of life followed by lots of people, but it's not really a religion. It doesn't involve God in any way. It doesn't involve worship. It's just showing respect for animals. But people who follow vegetarianism aren't necessarily religious at all. Some are, but some aren't. So vegetarianism is an example of a way of life followed by some religious people, but is not a religion in and of itself. And then Swami Chinmayanandaji's unforgettable statement. He says, "What an abominable stupidity is wrapped up in such an attractive statement." He's a showman. He likes very good at giving presentations kind of dramatically, in a British style, very dramatic. "What an abominable stupidity is wrapped up in such an attractive statement." So just a few thoughts, because I don't want to go too late this morning. To let the monks get to work. They have lots to do today to host all of you. Again, a point made in the publisher's desk, and this has been my experience, is that it comes up regularly at satsang. When I'm having satsang with Hindus that I don't know, and Hindus that don't know me, we're just getting acquainted. Came up at the Chicago satsang. They had some academics come from out of town, who were very humble and interested. They weren't there to argue. But one of them asked a question, you know, about Hinduism being a way of life. And in other instances, too, it's a generalization, but generally the person asking it is not deeply involved in Hindu practices. They're more culturally a Hindu. You know, go to Diwali and go to this, go to that. They're culturally a Hindu. They dress like a Hindu. They use their native language in some situations. You know, they have the cultural side of Hinduism. They're participating in. They're a virtuous person. They're not being dishonest. They have a sense of duty. But they're not strongly religious. They don't worship. They don't meditate. They don't go on pilgrimage. That's the general description of a person who asked this question. Isn't Hinduism just a way of life? So it is a way of life, but if you only pursue Hinduism as a way of life, you're leaving out a lot. It's like going to a fine restaurant and just eating the appetizer. You missed out on the main course and the best part, of course, the dessert. So if you're going to go to a fine restaurant, why just eat the appetizer? Why not have the whole thing? Why not enjoy the main course and the dessert as well? Oh, that's the point, is that Hinduism is a way of life, and way of life encompasses good conduct, for example, duty. But worship in the home shrine, worship in the temple is a very important aspect of Hinduism that we encourage all Hindus to encompass as well. Selfless service, particularly at a temple, is ideal. Temple or ashram, putting in time, helping out in a humble way is a very good practice to further our spiritual unfoldment, help us develop humility. Great story about that I will tell in the shortest time possible. Mahatma Gandhi had an ashram, and VIPs would come, and they'd expect him to give them some profound teachings on day one, and then on day two they would leave, right? So he would ask them to do things like clean out the latrine on day one. And on day two, they weren't there. They didn't want to become humble. You know, they wanted to just keep their status at the ashram that they had in the world, you know, which was very high status in society, VIP politician. But at the ashram, you can't do that. You have to just give up your status. You know, everybody is a humble servant of God in an ashram. And that's how you need to develop that. So for the deeper practices, first we need humility, which comes through selfless service. Scriptural study is very important, because that's the only way we have a true understanding and we avoid superstition. Superstition, as you, many of you have heard me define, is that which everyone thinks is true but is nowhere found in Scripture. Superstition. If you bring the image of Shiva into the home, the husband will leave you and you will become poor. Superstition. It's not in any Scripture. No Scripture says that, but it's a common belief in, among certain circles, things like that. So we avoid superstition by scriptural study, and then all of this ideally leads up to some form of meditation where we're going inside ourselves and hopefully even coming into a sense of oneness with God, which meditation can provide. Well, thank you very much. Have a wonderful day. Om Namah Shivaya.